I want to begin this morning with something that I was reminded of this past week. And it's also something that we take for granted so often. But I was reminded of what the Apostle John wrote in John chapter 3, verse 17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now, I've entitled today's message, God Loves Sinners, because of this verse, because if God wanted to condemn sinners, if God didn't love sinners, well, He would have just condemned us from the very beginning. I'd like you to think about this. What hope would you have without Christ? But the Bible clearly says that God did not send His Son into the world to condemn sinners. And when I look at that cross, that old rugged cross holds great meaning. It reminds me that Jesus loves me. And if Jesus loves me, it reminds me that Jesus loves you as well. And it reminds me that Jesus died for a very precious organization, and that organization is called the church. And yet, how often the church is taken for granted, forsaken in today's world. But when you look at the cross, let me ask you, what do you see? Does it remind you that God loves a sinner like me or like you? My hope is that, like the three we've baptized here this morning, you have already made the wonderful discovery of knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And if so, we rejoice in that. But if you have not yet come to the place where you have repented of your sin and you have admitted you need a Savior, you need a Lord, without Jesus you have no hope, then I pray today you'll come. Because the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Are you aware that you cannot get saved unless you know you are condemned? And while many of the folks in this world agree that Jesus died for sinners, most folks like us gathered here this morning really don't buy and believe that we are all that bad. Certainly we're not perfect, but corrupt, vile, sin-filled? I'm not that bad. But we are. You see, when Paul wrote, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and for the wages of sin is death," in Romans 3 and 23 and 6 and 23, he was speaking of this truth. God does not have to condemn us because we are condemned already. Because of our gross imperfections, our vileness, our sin-filled heart, our selfishness, and the sheer ugliness of what we have become without God. And so, the Bible says that God sent His Son into the world in order that the whole world could hear the gospel. Do you believe that this morning? I'd like you to turn to a story that you may be familiar with in Luke's Gospel, Luke chapter 16 and verse 19, and if you would be finding that, and when you find that, if you would please rise to your feet as we honor our King with the reading of His Holy Word. In Luke 16, 19, the word of our Lord says unto us, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came, and moreover was the name of the dogs, and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Would you bow with me in prayer? Father, you have led us here to this text today because you want to speak to my heart and to the hearts of all who are gathered online and all those who are gathered here in the church. You want to speak to us from this passage about the most important and most serious subject in all of Holy Scripture, the reality of life after death and the destiny of those who do not have salvation in Jesus Christ. Father, let none of us be so bold here this morning as not to allow you to speak to us about the seriousness of hell. And as we see from our text here this morning, in particular, about a sinner's life in hell. Lord, as your servant, all I can do is bring your word to the ears of those people that you put to hear it. But only you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, can take your word to their hearts. And Lord, I pray that all who listen to this message would have an ear to hear and a heart to receive. For eternity is a long time not to be right about how we will answer what we have done with Jesus. Lord, this morning you speak to us as only you can. In Christ's name I pray. And all of God's people said, Amen. Friends, this morning our text shares a story, and I want you to know it is not a parable, because Jesus knows the end of all things. Jesus knows who is in hell right this moment as well as who is in heaven. And he also knows those who are on their way to hell as those who are on their way to heaven. And I pray that each and every one of us within earshot of my voice would come to know and be certain that you are on your way to heaven. And I will say again, eternity is a long time not to get this right. And so Jesus simply shares the story, if you will, about two men's lives and two men's deaths. And the Bible teaches it is appointed unto man once to die, and then the judgment. If someone was to ask you this morning, oh, let me just call out a few names, may I be so bold. Brandon, how long will you walk the face of this earth? And Dennis, how long will you be here? Mike, how many more hours do you have? George, what have you done with your life? Are you ready to go home? Are you ready to be called out of this world into the next? It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, one man here is in paradise. One man here is in torment, and as we read the scripture, think of the most vile, dirtiest, ugliest. This man was full of sores, and yet he wants this man, Lazarus, to dip his finger in some water because he's in torment that he might cool his tongue. Would you ask a man who is full of sores, filthy and dirty, his sores have been licked by dogs, would you ask that kind of a man, hey, brother, get me a drink of water, I'm thirsty. If you saw him, you'd run from him. Isn't that a truth? Certainly we'd avert our eyes and go, oh my Lord, I've never seen such a thing. Now the author and the speaker is the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus mentions the men by name. He says the one is Lazarus, the other is the rich man. And he says, now remember that thou in thy lifetime. Think about that for a moment. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords looks at them and he could be talking to us. He could say, George, now remember in thy lifetime. Dennis, remember in thy lifetime. Mike, remember in thy lifetime. Pastor Don, remember. I don't think he'd call me Pastor Don. I think he'd say, Don, now remember in thy lifetime. And the fact that he says, remember in thy lifetime, means that there is another lifetime. You see, there was a day when you did not exist. For example, I did not exist before February 17th, 1957. But there will never come a day that I cease to exist. I will live for eternity. I will live in heaven with my Lord, where I know that I am, because I have received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I have repented of my sin. Hallelujah. I know where I am going. But others aren't so certain. Now when I think about this, when Jesus says, remember thou in thy lifetime, it also means that in this lifetime, God knows who we are, and God knows everything we have done. And so I want to very clearly say to you this morning, there is a God in heaven, amen, and who knows what you are going through. He knows what you are thinking. He knows what you are doing. He knows what you are receiving now. And He knows what you will receive in the life to come. You see, knowing that Jesus says, "Remember that thou in thy lifetime," should lead us to understand and conclude there's got to be something else beyond our present lifetime. And there is. Jesus spoke more about hell than he ever did about heaven. Now, why do you think that is? Very simply, because God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. God simply does not want you going there. He is doing all he can to prevent you from going there. And he's telling us here a love story. Whether you believe that or not is up to you. But I want you to note the man in paradise could see the man in hell suffering. And the man in hell could look up and see the man in paradise. And the man in paradise couldn't bring him any water even if he wanted to. There's a great gulf fixed. He can't comfort them. He can't go to them. He can't console them. He cannot do anything for them. And the people who are in hell, they can't get out of hell either. Let me ask you to do something this morning. I would like you to just close your eyes for a moment, and I would like you to picture yourself in hell for all of eternity in a literal lake of fire, knowing that you cannot get out. You can never, ever, ever get out, and it is always going to be like this for all of eternity. Nothing but torment and pain. And this will be the thought that will go through your head time and time again for eternity. It did not have to be this way. It did not have to be this way. But it is this way. Because you believed you weren't really all that vile, all that selfish, all that sin-filled, all that corrupt, all that bad. And you really did not give yourself to Jesus Christ through repentance and faith. Now the Bible says, Revelation 21 and 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." And the reason I want to mention that is because there's no way that I in heaven could enjoy being in heaven, looking down and seeing some of my family in hell. How God's going to do all that, I do not know. I just thank God that He is going to do that. But the Bible says He is, and I believe the Bible. What about you? Now I want you to look again with me in your Bible. I pray you've kept it open. Be finding verse 27. The rich man in hell, this is what he's referring to. "Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house." Why? Well, the next verse gives us the reason why. "For I have five brothers." He says, I've got five brothers. And what's more, he knows his five brothers are on their way to hell. And so he says, send somebody. You see, he understands that unless somebody tells them about Jesus, they are coming to this place. Now, it is not by accident that you are here this morning. Friends, this is a divine appointment because God is a sovereign God and God loves you. You may be here because you came to see Piper baptized this morning. You may be here because of Christiana's baptism or Blake's baptism or for some other reason, but you need to understand that there is a God in heaven who is sovereign and He directs the affairs, the feet of man. Man makes his plan, but the Bible says God directs his steps. And so you are here because God has brought you here. And you are hearing the gospel preached. And you are going to have to do something with what you hear here this morning. And God is telling you about hell this morning so that you would understand you do not have to go there. Hell was never prepared for man. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But men are going to hell simply because they tread under their sinful feet the very cross of Jesus Christ. If you wake up and find yourself in hell, do you realize how hard you are going to have had to work to get to hell? Every time the gospel was preached, you ignored it. You stepped over it. Every time a preacher told you about Jesus, you didn't want to hear it. You shut your ears. You tried not to think about it. You worked at it. You strived for it. And you finally made it over the cross and into hell. I can't think of anybody want to be that dumb. But I tell you, I've met a lot of dumb people in my life. What about you? You know, I got some dumb people in my family. What about you? Can we agree with this? Every family got a story, amen? You see, as I preached this morning, I got some family that are on their way to hell simply because they won't think about the most important question. And I pray you would not make that mistake. Because God is telling you about hell so you don't have to go there. This speaks to us about those whom we love and know who are not saved. And it begs us to ask the question of ourselves, what are you doing about it? Are you depending on somebody else to go for you? It begs us to ask the question of ourselves, am I really saved? Can I really be saved and be living opposed to what God says? What does God say about fornication? What does God say about adultery? What does God say about being not married and living together? What does God say about pornography, about drunkenness, about idolatry, about lawlessness? Can I live like a sinner and still be saved? What kind of an example am I to my children, to my friends, to my parents, to my neighbors, to my enemies? You see, hell is forever and no man has to go there. Yet many are there now and many are headed there. And let me tell you who is on their way to hell. The out and out sinner is on their way to hell. The religious self-righteous are headed to hell. The person who says they are saved and yet they daily practice living opposed to what God says in His Word. Friend, if you say you're saved, do you realize you cannot live outside of this book? I can't preach outside of this book. I can't live outside of this book. If I am a child of the living God, then I've got to do and seek to do everything that God has for me in this book, because I am not God. There is a God. It is not me, and it is not you. And the Bible says, do not add to nor take away from God's word. Now, how many Christians do you know who, so-called Christians, I'm going that far, and you can take it up with God. This is God's word. How many so-called Christians do you know who love to make excuses and say things like, well, you don't know my heart. I'm saved, but I just don't see any reason for the church. You got to be kidding me. Don't you realize that Jesus Christ gave his life, and upon the confession of Peter's faith, he said, I will build my what? You better believe it. The church is the most important thing there is to Jesus Christ. And if you're not a part of the church, do you realize it's going to be impossible for you to say, I'm a part of the body? That's what the Bible says. Upon your confession, I will build my what? Church, you got it. There's no arguing with that. You got a problem with that, you take it to God in prayer. He'll get you straight. The procrastinator is headed there. See, you may be here this morning and think, well, you know, I know, preacher, I need to get my heart right with God. I'll do it someday. Again, I'll say, how much time do you have? How many hours do you have left? Do you know when you're going to walk into eternity? Death is no respecter of person, friend. Comes for the young as well as the old, as well as the in-between. Today is the day of salvation, amen? And then another person who's going to go to hell is a person who believes all they got to do is go out and do the best they can. Well, friend, your best wasn't good enough in the first place. That's why you needed a Savior. What's doing the best you can going to get you? God wants you to know it doesn't have to be this way. You don't have to go to hell. The one commandment God has given us is to go and tell people about Jesus and get them under gospel preaching so they can be saved. Listen, the devil doesn't care what you do with your life as long as you don't live it for Jesus and don't tell others about Jesus Christ. The devil doesn't care how busy you are. The devil loves keeping you busy because that way you'll make all kind of excuses as to why you cannot do what God commands you to do in His Word. The devil doesn't care what you talk about just as long as you don't talk about Jesus. Buy your kids all kinds of toys. Give them everything under the sun, but just don't give them the most important gift there is. Don't talk to them about Jesus. Don't get them in church where they can learn about Jesus. Don't share your faith with them that'll carry them through when long after you're gone. Don't do any of that. The devil's all for that. The devil doesn't care if you're here this morning, you have an emotional moment, come and pray a prayer and join a church. Just as long as you continue to serve him, the devil knows as long as there is no transformation in your life, you still belong to him. And the devil doesn't mind religious people. In fact, Satan encourages that there be religious people because that way they can be comforted in time, but not for eternity. You see, the devil, he's great at telling us, oh, you know, you're not that bad, you're not that vile, you're not that selfish, you're not that sin-filled, you're not that corrupt. Certainly, you're not wretched. Well, what's the song say? Amazing grace that saved a what? Wretch like me. John Newton had it right. You see, if you believe that you're all not that bad, you don't even see yourself as condemned. If you don't see yourself as condemned, friend, how are you ever going to get saved? God doesn't save good people. If he did, he'd have saved the Pharisee and the Sadducee. God saves sinners. Now we're nearing Easter. And God is a just and holy God. And Easter speaks of God's holiness and justice. And I'll share this and then we're through. If God wasn't going to condemn sin, then why the cross? If God wasn't going to condemn sin and He put His Son on the cross, that was the cruelest, most vilest act there ever was in all of history. But God is going to condemn sin, and God gave His Son. And the Bible says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You see, God is going to punish sin, and Jesus willingly took it and died in your place. But because God is going to punish sin, and because God has given you free will, it means you have the choice to receive His so great salvation or not. God is not going to force Himself on you. He will allow you to walk over the cross and walk into hell. If you reject Jesus Christ, that's where you're going to wind up. Friend, in order to go to heaven, you have to be perfect, and none of us are perfect. None of us are as righteous as God. We have all sinned. We have all come short of the glory of God, and because of our sin, we cannot get ourselves into heaven. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot be good enough. We can't get there. And so God says this, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. That cross up there represents Jesus Christ and the free gift of eternal salvation that He gives to all who will receive. Now I said, you've heard the gospel. And whenever we hear the gospel, you're going to have to decide what you're going to do with what you have heard. You see, God says that His word never goes out void. God sends it out. And God's word draws you to Him if you will receive it. If you will accept the cross of Jesus Christ, you can be one of those whosoevers who get saved. And God will apply the blood of Jesus Christ to your account, and your sin debt will be paid in full. And isn't it great to read about a man who was full of sores who had done that? Lazarus is in heaven today. The rich man failed to do that. He's still in hell today, and he'll be there for all eternity. When you come to the end of your days, where will you be? Where will you be? The answer to that is found in what you believe about Jesus Christ and what you believe about His Word. Someone was to ask, if God was to examine you today, and I believe that He is, would God say, you're living in My Word? Or would God say, you're out of bounds? And friend, if you're out of bounds, you're out of fellowship. Is your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life? Or is it just written down in the books from which you're going to be judged? You see, the proof of what you believe will be clearly evident, and it is clearly evident. Your life testifies every day as to whom you really believe and who you really serve. And if you wake up one day like this rich man did, and friend, it'll be just that quick. And you find yourself in hell, I can guarantee you, on the authority of the Word of God, the thought that'll be running through your head is, it did not have to be this way. And it'll be like a song going over and over and over again while you're in torment for all eternity. The Bible says, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Right now, we all in the world. Some of us are saved. Some of us aren't. Some of us think we are. But we haven't been living in this book. We really haven't come to the point where we sung that song we sing so often in church, I surrender all. We haven't surrendered it yet. And I just want to encourage you today, because you don't know how much time you have here, neither do I. Do you realize this could be the last sermon you ever hear? Be the last sermon I ever preach. One day soon, we're going to be gone. I pray you'll be in heaven. And if you're not certain, get it right today. And if you've been living outside of this book, you come and repent today. If you've been adding to it or taking away from it, you need to come and surrender it to God today. Why today? Because you may not have another day. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. Father, we do pray this morning for those who are without Christ, that through this message they will have seen their need for Christ, that they will be reminded it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Every one of us is going to stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we will give an account for what we have done with the life that you gave us. Lord, we pray for those who are saved, that they would be absolutely certain that they are living inside the Bible. And Lord, if any of us have lived outside of your word, may we come and may we repent. Lord, I don't know what you're doing in the lives of your people here today. But for those online, if you see your need for Jesus, you might pray something like this: Dear Jesus, I am a sinner. And Lord, I need to be saved today. And Father, I humbly bow before you and I confess my sin. Lord, I want you to take all of my heart. I want you to transform me. I want you to make me a new man or woman within. And Lord, I want to thank you for forgiving me of my sins, for cleansing me in your blood, because it's certainly not by works of righteousness which I have done, but through the washing of the blood that I am saved and made whole. Father, come into my life, come into my heart, and save me. And if you've prayed that from the sincerity of your heart, then you contact us here at the church. And as we stand to sing our invitational hymn this morning, You come if God has spoken to you. You get your heart right with God today. Let us stand and let us sing. Amen.